This is the State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Saturday morning dance class. Little girls lining up, dreaming of becoming the next Misty Copeland. But what happens when a young boy dreams of becoming the next Mikhail Baryshnikov? Filmmaker and father Scott Gormley is raising a dancer, and what he observed disturbed him. His son had been ostracized and made fun of for dancing ballet. Scott's desire to learn more drove him to create the documentary Danseur. It shares the stories of boys and men and pursuing their dreams to becoming ballet dancers and battling homophobia, bullying, and rejection. Danseur is screening at the Hunt Library on the campus of NC State this Saturday at 4 o'clock. Joining us now to talk about the film is producer, director, and dad, Scott Gormley. Scott, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
When did your son develop a love for ballet and dance?
He was always kind of a natural mover from birth, but I would say he really expressed an interest in dancing in any way, shape, or form, probably around third or fourth grade, and then slowly but surely discovered that really ballet was his calling and started focusing more of his attention purely on ballet.
Well, when you say you noticed it, or he expressed it more intentionally in third and fourth grade, how does that manifest in third grade?
I think at that age, boys are still, not afraid to be themselves. And he, point blank said that he was interested in taking a hip hop dance class, which is often the way boys get into to dancing because it's kind of more socially acceptable form of dance for them. So sure enough, that's what he did. He took a hip hop class, and from there it evolved into tap and modern and ballet. And then obviously he landed on ballet. So
when did you start noticing that this was having an impact on his social life?
Probably around seventh grade, he slowly started to withdraw from us and also from a larger group of friends that he had of 20 or 30 or so. It dwindled down to about two, maybe three people that he continued to stay in touch with. And that really started to, concern us that there was something deeper going on. And it took a lot of pulling out of him that, in fact, he was the brunt of many jokes because of his desire to dance.
What else was he experiencing?
It was mostly this kind of social outcast syndrome that was thrust upon him, where he was no longer, a boy's boy. He was no longer asked to, participate in sports or anything, that all of his other friends were doing. There was also, some social media posts and things like that at the time that were, unfortunately pigeonholing him into, being a gay boy because he chose to dance as opposed to play football or baseball.
And what was he saying about this? Was he sort of edging toward or suggesting he was going to give up dance, or what was his reaction to all this?
Thankfully, no. Thankfully, he always had a very strong sense of self and knew that at that point, his desire to dance was stronger than his connection with any of these other friends. Thankfully for him, he continued to pursue his dream of dancing and didn't let any of that stuff dissuade him in any way, shape, or form. But unfortunately, he is definitely in the minority.
Well, your concern and curiosity about this phenomenon is what led you to produce the documentary. And in it, you talked to a number of people about their experiences as they developed a love for dance and what it was like for them. And here's a clip that features a former dancer sharing his experience growing up.
When I got to middle school, I had a math teacher who, when I would answer a question, he would say, "Oh, that's right, you know that because you do ballet and you can count." And then he would like mimicky ballet moves and all the kids would laugh and think it's so funny. And my dad went in and talked to the principal about it, and then they transferred me to another teacher.
It got so bad that I ran away from school one day. I couldn't deal with any of what I was subjected to anymore. The principal came to me, looking at me in tears, and he said, "I failed you.
That's a clip from the documentary Danseur, featuring ballet instructor Peter Stark of the Boston Ballet and Patrick Frenette of the American Ballet Theater in New York City. Danseur will screen at NC State on Saturday at 4 o'clock at the Hunt Library, followed by a talk with director Scott Gormley, who is with me now. Tell me more about, we're going to get into some of these experiences, but I actually want to hear about what led you to do the documentary or when you decided that it needed to be done.
Sure. I was in the process of researching another film and about to start another documentary when all of this was going on in my personal life. And, you know, after doing some just preliminary research on the issue so that I could address it with my son and with my family, the numbers just floored me, and I knew the minute I came across some of the research that was done by Doug Reisner at Wayne State about the propensity of boys in dance to be bullied and physically assaulted. I knew that if I started talking to other boys, that I would have a far more rich story. And so that's what really started the process of me on this 3-year-long journey.
What were some of those numbers?
I mean, the numbers are staggering. You know, it's upwards of 96% of boys who dance are bullied either physically or verbally. You know, but that unfortunately is so hard to quantify because so many boys choose to leave after, you know, after it happens. So Doug's research focused on asking dancers who continued to dance. So I think the numbers could even be higher if you speak to, you know, people that have unfortunately left.
You know, what were some of the things, how did you handle it and how did your family handle it when your son came home with these stories? Well, not stories, you began to notice, and as you say, you had to extract the story from him.
You know, I was just as supportive as I possibly could in his pursuit of dance. So, you know, we live in New York and we made certain that he would have an opportunity to dance where other boys are and where boys are being supported. And unfortunately, that's very hard to find anywhere outside of major metropolitan areas. In our case, in suburban New York, he used to travel to Manhattan every day to take classes with other boys so that we knew he was getting the right training, but also that he was surrounding himself with very like-minded people. He also attended a performing arts high school, so that also was, you know, a huge built-in support system that he wouldn't have had otherwise in other schooling.
It's interesting. I mean, you talk about suburban New York, but you were living not far from Manhattan, right? So when you talk about the support networks maybe being in major metropolitan areas, you don't have to be far from those major metropolitan areas to find a completely different environment, it seems.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate part. I mean, I really thought, especially here in New York, we would have expected something different. And unfortunately, no matter who I spoke to in the process of making the film, no matter where they were located geographically, there was an issue.
And you also highlight in the film not only the struggles that young boys and young men have in maintaining this craft over and against the bullying, but also, you know, just how much effort and how physical it really is, and how much work it is to be a dancer. Let's listen to this clip.
What people want to see when they see a dancer is not just pure entertainment, but soul and personality and heart, a sort of wildness in a way.
Even though you're going to always have questions, I think you can investigate and explore through dance.
I never predicted how much hard work it is.
It takes extreme amounts of training, physical conditioning. You'll see ballet dancers in the gym almost as often as you will at the studio.
The amount of training I was doing compared to someone who's just playing soccer an hour a day and I'm rehearsing for 4 to 5 hours.
The sacrifices I've made have been for dance, and there's been some sacrifice.
For From the documentary Dan Soor, you heard James Whiteside of American Ballet Theater, Derek Cleveland, Harper Waters of the Houston Ballet, Alexander Charles, who's a student at Hart School, and Peter Weil of Pennsylvania Ballet. There's going to be a screening of the End Director's Talk Saturday at the Hunt Library on the campus of NC State. We're joined by the director and producer, Scott Gormley. That is something that's fascinating about this. And is it because you think young men simply don't know that there's this much effort that goes into it, or it's just not, doesn't look like football?
I mean, I don't really know. I mean, I don't know why there's somehow this stigma that it's less physical than playing football or basketball. It's so incredibly grueling. These athletes, I mean, and I use that word very cautiously because, you know, there's a school of thought that should, you know, dance should be considered athletic, and there are others that it's a pure art form. But no matter what you consider it, these are incredible human specimens that have the strength to lift women over their head with a single hand. You don't see that anywhere else in physical sport. So I really I don't know why there is this stigma attached to it, but, you know, I think part of it is just the preconceived notion that male ballet dancers are gay. And unfortunately, that is so pervasive and is attached to, you know, our belief system that's what these boys are up against when, you know, they first express an interest in dancing.
Yeah, and it's doubly wrong because in the first place, the association between ballet and gay is not an association that is clear. But then to suggest that there's something wrong with being gay. So that's the double whammy in all of that. And of course, that it mostly begins in middle school, would you say?
That's what, you know, the research seems to show, and what my experience was in interviewing, you know, over 24 dancers for the film.
Part of the documentary was shot in Cary at the International Ballet Academy. What brought you to the Triangle?
They have an incredible young men's program there, as well as a summer program specifically tailored to boys. Patrick Frenette of ABT and Peter Stork, both who participated in the film, were teaching at that summer program, and I had an opportunity to come down and interview them there, as well as some of the boys that were participating in the program, about what their experiences were like.
The documentary gets into some of the, you know, kind of what to do and how families can support, but in many cases, it seems, these dancers themselves had to find something internally to keep them going. It's fascinating to see, you know, what it takes mentally and emotionally to keep yourself going through this. Here's another clip from the documentary.
I don't look at my mom and dad for any kind of support in my dance career. My parents have never gone to the opera house to see me dancing with the company on a professional stage.
I've had acceptance from mostly everybody, except my father, actually. When he found out when I was 3 that I was taking dance lessons, he flipped. His little boy was turning into a girl. He didn't appreciate it. He didn't understand it. He thought that my mother was forcing me into it. He just never accepted it and never understood it.
John Lamb of the Boston Ballet, Alexander Charles, a student at Hart School, both featured in the documentary Dan Soor, which will screen at NC State on Saturday at 4 o'clock, the Hunt Library, followed by a talk with director Scott Gormley, who is with me now. How is your son doing now?
He's doing wonderfully. He's studying at a conservatory in Pittsburgh at Point Park University, and his dreams, you know, are still on track, so I'm thankful for that.
You know, how much of this really is centered on, in a sense, homophobia? I mean, how much of that is actually the problem, is our sort of pathology about with homophobia?
I mean, it definitely, you know, is pervasive. And you played 2 perfect clips for that. In both cases, you know, both dancers struggled without parental support because of this, you know, incredible notion that somehow dancing would make them gay. which is just this absurd notion. But unfortunately, far too often, that's what boys are facing, this belief that if somehow you choose to dance ballet, that it will make you gay. And, you know, in the case of someone like John Lamb, who has gone his entire career as a principal at Boston Ballet without his parents ever seeing him dance on a professional stage, is just heartbreaking to me that he wouldn't have the support of his parents.
What are you hoping people take away from this film?
I'm really hoping that we can start a conversation around what it is to be masculine, what it is to be, you know, a dancer, what it is to pursue what you love in spite of all of the challenges that you may face. And I think, you know, we're really starting to have fruitful conversations around the issues of bullying, of, you know, what these boys are facing. And my hope is that it will slowly but surely turn the tide and we can start attracting more boys to the art. And, you know, they'll feel as if they're in a safe place when they choose to dance.
Scott Gormley is the producer and director of the documentary Danseur. Scott, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Frank.
Film's going to be screened at the Hunt Library on the campus of NC State on Saturday at 4 o'clock. It will be followed by a director's talk and breakout sessions, and you can find out all that information at our website, stateofthings.org. You can also sign up for our newsletter and get a daily preview of our lineup. If you take a look at the website, you'll see how to do that tomorrow. Political Junkie's going to be here. Lots to talk about. Donald Trump's national emergency declaration. Will it hold up in court? A coalition of states has filed suit against the president's decision. Of course, he's using that to justify his border wall. We'll talk about that. And the drama continues in the state election board's hearings about suspected election fraud in North Carolina's 9th congressional district. Political Junkie Ken Rudin will be here to talk about that and more. We'll hear the music of Faith Jones, all of that tomorrow on The State of Things, a program produced by Anita Rao, Laura Pelliser, Dana Terry, Amanda Magnus, and Jennifer Brookland. Robin Copley's our technical director. Jenny Lawson is running the board today. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.